Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
Father, thank you for your word today that is alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord, and thank you that it will challenge us, it will change us. And as we implement your word in our lives, Father, thank you that it'll take us to another level in our walk with you. So, Father, we want to be in a place where we glorify you. So here we are, Lord. We submit to you. Our hearts are open to you for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we're in this series of Waiting Here For You, the Advent series. And 2 weeks ago, Kelly covered peace. And the peace of God is a phenomenal attribute that we have as Christians, because in the midst of turmoil and in a world of war or conflict, we can have peace, because Jesus said, I give you peace, not as the world gives, and the peace he gives us is a relationship in harmony with God the Father. So that is our guiding, and that force in our lives is phenomenal, because we can have all conflict around us, but we've got this stability in our lives, which is this peace we have with God. Then last week, Kelly covered love, and she shared how the love of God is such an important aspect of our lives, another fruit of the Spirit. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit as well. And she talked how we can forgive and how the love of God. And so as we progress into joy today, and next week Joel will cover hope, we remember that we are living in this period sandwiched between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ, and that's what our hope is. We can be the most positive people on this planet because we've read the end of the book, and the end of the book tells us that God gives us victory. And so we're living in an exciting age. We're expecting this glorious second coming of Christ, which could be any time in the future. It could be another 1,000 years. It could be a while still, because we've still got lots of work to do in discipling nations under Christ. But if we get the job done fast, then we can speed up the return. But during this time period, we have to be conscious of his first coming and what that is, and conscious of his second coming and the implications of that. And so what he did for us, we must apply in our lives, and even though we live our lives as if he's coming back tomorrow, we still share the gospel with others with that urgency. We still prepare as if he's not. All right, so we've got to continue preparing our lives and continuing. It's not an escape. We don't look at the second coming of Christ and the rapture as an escape out of this planet, and we just want to avoid tough times and whatever's going on. It's actually a time for us to spread the word of God with other people. So today we're looking at joy, and we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, and then we're going to look at James. But Nehemiah actually talks a little bit about a party here. And as we progress into the Christmas season, God gives us full rights to eat the fat and drink the sweet wine and just have a... I thought someone would be excited about that. Help me, guys. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's a scripture we're going to come back to, and we're going to look at this today as we explore other passages in the Bible. But primarily, the message for you and I today is that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So there's a vast difference between joy and happiness. Even though some people will describe joy as an emotion, it's way more than that. It's way more than a feeling. Happiness is a feeling. Happiness is an emotion. And just looking at one or two things this week, well, let's just look at that next slide. The difference between joy and happiness is primarily in that joy is a spiritual force. It's a strength empowering us to attain to God's purposes. So it's really high octane fuel that's going to take you way beyond what happiness can. Happiness will be up and down in your life, but joy is a force deep within you that God has implanted in you. You see, as we said, it's a fruit of the Spirit. Now, you know as well as I do that in Galatians 5, when Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness. And those attributes are part of the new birth. That is what God has implanted in our hearts as a result of us crossing the line of faith and becoming Christians. So this wonderful privilege we have of this new nature inside. And one of those attributes is joy. So it's way more than a feeling. Now, I was looking at a website a little bit this week, and it's entitled Action for Happiness. And there's a lot of people out there who are looking for happiness. And you can find lots of ways on the internet as to how you can become happy. And this one was quite interesting because it says 5 main psychological needs. And this was on the website Action for Happiness. And they said there's love, belonging, purpose, achievement, to be understood. And those are very valid points. And those things will make you happy. If you're in a relationship and you feel loved, you feel belonging, you feel purpose, achievement, especially for a guy, we like to achieve, we're goal-oriented, and we feel like we're understood, ladies, then that will make you happy. There was your chance, girls, for a nudge in the ribs and say... But God wants us to go way beyond just being happy, because happiness, as I said, can go up and down. Money, people have said, can't make you happy. I agree. It can take away a relative amount of unhappiness. It's not really going to make you happy. Temporarily, a little bit. But in essence, what God is saying to us is that there is something that He has given us deep within our hearts called joy, and that joy is a strength, it's a force that is continual, and it doesn't go away. It's up to us to ensure that joy is at the forefront of our lives in order for us to get to the purposes God has for us. So joy is a force, it's a strength that's going to help you attain to the purposes and plans that God has for you. So we're going to look at 3 things today. Firstly, we're going to look at, in James chapter 4, we're going to break this up into 3 parts. And we're going to look firstly at what verse 2 says, and then we're going to look at a little bit at verse 3 and 4, and then we're going to come back. But James says this, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various or trials of various kinds." Now, you look at that and you think, the guy's lost the plot. Why would we count it all joy when we meet various trials? And why would we be joyful in tough times? But he goes on and he says, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." So we're going to look a little bit at the purpose of the trials. And then he says, "Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Question, who wants to be perfect and complete? Yeah, I would hope everyone, but only 10 people put up their hands. So I'm going to ask them again. Who wants to be perfect and complete? Okay, phew. I just thought for a minute, Suzanne, I was in the wrong place. But we do, and God is saying to us that there's a way in which to attain to that perfection and to become complete in Him, and it's the way we handle trials in life. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit this morning. And then we're going to finish up and look at how joy plays a role in this. And this weapon, almost, we can say, God's given us of joy that can take us to God's plan of becoming complete. All right, so let's look a little bit at trials. We're going to touch on this a little bit so you can see what you can encounter and what you can be joyful about. But I've broken it down into 3 sections: God trials, Satan trials, and life trials. Trials can come from different sources, and it's not that important that you try and work out where the trial comes from, because sometimes we get so bent out of shape we miss the point of being joyful in the trial because we're trying to determine its source. But just to help us here, we can see that trials come from God, from Satan, and life trials. Now, God doesn't tempt us or test us with anything evil, and a God trial would be something like obedience. It would be like being discipled under the lordship of Jesus. So when God challenges you and I, which I'm sure He does on a daily basis, as to deal with certain things in our lives, that can be a trial. How many of you know it's sometimes tough to give sacrificially. How many of you know when God says to you, I want you to be more gentle and more kind and not be so aggressive in life? How many of you know that's going to take, that's a trial? So God speaks to us and he wants us to do certain things. He says, I want you to stop that in your life. I want you to do this. And as he deals with us about things in our lives, it's a trial. It's a challenge. It's not easy. How many of you know it's not easy being a good husband? Even though I'm married to a perfect wife, it's still sometimes a trial. So we got trials of obedience. We also got trials when it comes to destiny. Because if you look at where you're at right now, position, I believe, very strategically in Paris. I don't think it's a mistake that we're living in Paris right now. I think most of us are here, if not all of us are here, by divine appointment. God wants us here for a purpose, but in order to fulfill our destinies, which would be to stay in Paris and persevere through and not quit, it's going to be tough at times, and that would be a trial. Is it always easy living in Paris? When we first announced we were coming to Paris, people said, wow, living the dream, the city of romance. I'm glad we're on the same page on that. It's not. This is a little bit of a different kind of winter to what I'm used to in South Africa. I'm used to a three-month winter with highs in the day of 16, 17 degrees. That's a high in winter. You might get 5 days in the year where it drops below zero. So for me to have a long time period without seeing the sun, it's not kind of what I'm used to. So there's certain trials we go through in order to fulfill our destinies, but God's saying, I'm giving you the ability to handle those and the equipment for those, joy. And then Satan will throw a curveball in our lives at times. He will send trials our way. He's the author of sickness. God is not. The Bible clearly says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So when Satan throws us a curveball of sickness, we've got to implement joy in our lives in order to get to the solution. We'll have other trials from Satan as well, because he's the author of destruction. I don't like the small print on insurance policies in my country where if there's a tornado or a hurricane, they will say act of God. So I actually want to cross that out, initial it, and say act of Satan. Because I've never seen God send a tornado or a hurricane. He's not the author of those. So Satan sometimes brings destruction, and we, in a joyful way, can provide the solution in situations like that. And then life can throw us some challenges at times. Persecution is one of the major areas where we will have challenges in life. Jesus didn't say he was dying on the cross so we wouldn't suffer persecution. He said, actually, go ahead. You know, join the club, guys. You're going to get persecuted like I was. And persecution can be very tough, especially for young people who are at university or school. You know, and people say, well, are you a Christian? Yes. And they mock you and they ridicule you. That's persecution. But Jesus said in Luke 6, he said, blessed are you when you're persecuted. Jump for joy because your reward in heaven is magnificent. So there's trials in this life. There are other trials that or curveballs that life would throw us. Death is something that happens to all of us, and every single one of us, I'm sure, has experienced a loved one who has died. And that's not always easy. It's tough to deal with death, especially when it happens prematurely. I lost my sister in her early 50s. And that was a real tough one. But in the midst of that, God can surpass those as we are joyful in the midst of trials. And then sometimes we can have self-inflicted trials when we, through our own, and I've done this several times, if not a whole lot more, I've done some dumb things and I've reaped what I've sown. And as a result of that, I have a self-inflicted trial. But be that as it may, that's enough of the trials. Let's move on and look a little bit at this purpose. I want to touch a bit on this, but we want to spend most of the time today looking at how we're going to implement this joy and how we're going to really succeed in life. Because God wants you to succeed. He wants you to be blessed. in the midst of trials, God wants you to conquer, because he says, thanks be to God that who always leads us in triumph. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers him out of them all. That's a promise in Psalm 37. So the Bible is full of these promises as to how God wants us to deal with our trials, and frequently we'll see joy coming into this as our tool to deal with things. So you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or patience. So when our faith is tested, that produces steadfastness or patience. And he says, let steadfastness have its full effect. So often what you and I do is we quit in the middle of a tough time instead of letting it go all the way through, because if we go all the way through, that's where the growth really is. It's not to quit. And then we will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God is infinitely more concerned with your character than with your comfort. I'll say that again. God is infinitely more concerned with your character than with your comfort. So if God's got a choice between making you comfortable and growing your character, guess what he's going to choose? That's why James says, be joyful, or count it all joy when you fall into various trials, because the testing of your faith produces patience. It produces character. So God wants to develop us. And I know that when I was, mainly in my South African days, I used to work out in the gym quite a bit. You look at me like a little bit surprised. I was talking to someone the other day, and she said, I have the furniture disease. Do you know what the furniture disease is? When your chest lands up in your drawers. Some of you might not get that. It's lost in translation, but I'll maybe Google it and you'll see. There's a thing of furniture called the chest of drawers, and chest and the drawers. Drawers also means... Okay, right. Sorry, sometimes I'm just... Okay. Put me back in my cage after the service. Okay. But when I was working out in the gym, I used to push weight and try and push more weight than I could, because that was where my growth came. I used to think that if I went to the gym and just got a gym membership and leaned on a weight and chatted to some people, I would get fit and strong. But after a week, I realized that didn't work, and trying to park closer to the gym so I wouldn't have to walk also wasn't a strategy, because I was going to the gym for exercise. And so I learned that the more I pushed myself in the gym, the more I would grow. And I realized it's the same thing spiritually. The more God pushes us and stretches us, the more we grow and we mature. And the way we do that is by having faith in the trial with joy. And that's what God wants to, I believe, teach us, is that joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that is our strength in tough times. We mustn't lose our joy. We must hold fast onto our joy. And most of you know that, and I said this when we did the marriage course, the series on what the Bible says about marriage, I said that every marriage gets tested to breaking point. And I'm yet to see a marriage that's longer than 48 hours tested. No, a little bit longer than that. Not tested to breaking point. Every marriage gets tested to breaking point. And you know what that trial really does? If we persevere and come through, we come out the other side, we know ourselves better, we know God better, and we know our spouses better, and we've grown in character. If we don't, and we quit on that, we land up in the next relationship with the same problems. All right, let's move on to fullness of joy, and let's look at how we're going to apply this. How are we going to actually take this and make it real and practical in our lives? Because it's no good having on the page of the Bible, the joy of the Lord is our strength, if it can't be real in my life. It's got to be practical. I've got to be able to implement this, because it is so important. So as we said, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is up and down, depending on circumstances. Joy is something deep within us that needs to be released when we need it. So when the trial comes, I don't always feel joyful. When something goes wrong in my life, my initial reaction isn't, wow, hallelujah. Now, the Phillips translation of that verse in James is quite interesting because J.B. Phillips says this of verse 2. He says, when all kinds of trials crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Now, I'm not there yet. I got to admit to you and confess that I'm not on the level of James, Paul, Jesus. I'm striving for it, as we all are. But if we look at life right now, I don't think there's too many of us that when a trial comes, we say, hallelujah, come on in, boy, welcome. What do you want for supper? Pull in, put your feet up. What channel do you want to watch? No, we don't, but that's what James is saying, according to the Phillips translation. That is the way we should treat trials. Why? Because they're going to be good for us, and we can conquer them because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible is the most positive book on this planet. It's the guideline for life. It tells us that we are conquerors, more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. It tells us that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness in the knowledge of Him. It tells us that we should be winning the battle. And it tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we are a different people because we can, in the midst of trials, have joy. We can have peace. So when you go to a funeral, and I prefer doing weddings to funerals, but I'll take a funeral any day of the week because at a funeral, people invariably kind of survey their lives and they check out their mortality. They analyze their lives and they say, well, what is life all about? And it's a wonderful opportunity to share Christ. And so I did my sister's funeral, I did my mother's funeral, I did my father's funeral. I'm going to do mine as well. So I'm going to prepare a video and they can play that when I... But it's in the midst of that, sure, when my relatives died, my family, close people to me, there was times of tears and mourning, but deep down inside there was a joy because they had all come to Christ. I know I'm going to meet them again. And so deep down there's this hope that we have. Joel will share more about that next week. But we're in a privileged position as Christians that we can behave totally differently at a funeral. They can look at us and say, why are you so peaceful? You should be in turmoil. You've lost a loved one. No, I've got God living inside of me. I'm going through. This is not going to affect me. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And we can persevere through knowing that we've read the back of the book, knowing what happens in the future. So what do we do? What do you and I do when it comes to a tough time, when it comes to a time when we wake up in the morning? And everything seems to be in turmoil in our lives. There's a trial this side, a trial that side. There's behind us, in front of us, and it seems like there's no way out. There's two things we should do. The first thing we should do is we must go back to the Bible. We must read the Bible because the Bible's got the solution for everything. Sometimes in the midst of tough times, we turn away from God, but we must turn to Him and read His Word. But then what we need to do is we need to praise Him. Because praise releases the joy inside of you. There's nothing like praise to do that. I was in quite a tough time a number of years ago. And I was driving in my car and you get the phone call and everything seemed to, all these trials seemed to crowd in at one moment. And I felt the spirit of depression almost coming on me. And I felt almost this cloud. And I felt God say, praise me. Praise me. Why? Because when I praise Him, I magnify Him and show how great and how big He is, and that minimizes me and my problem, because God is bigger than my problem. And so I remember that time in that car, and I said, okay, God, I am going to praise You until this leaves. And I started, and nothing happened for a minute. And I said, praise you, Jesus, hallelujah. And I praised him, and I praised him, and nothing. And then I thought, well, I'm just going to get louder about this. And I got louder, and I got louder, and I got louder. I was the only person in the car. So, you know, people were looking on the side. They must have looked like I was a fruitcake. But I don't care what they think of me, because that praise, after 5 minutes, conquered that battle, and that depression was gone. I think there are two types of depression. We're not talking about clinical depression. We're talking about circumstantial depression, where we feel low because of circumstances. That, I can say to you without a shadow of a doubt, the Bible says the answer is praise, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. I want to come into land now and share something that blesses me every time I read it or share it in Acts chapter 16. It's a wonderful passage in the Word. And then we're going to do 2 or 3 minutes of just speaking out some praise. And I believe we'll get to the solution. But I want to show you how Paul dealt with a situation that was quite tough in his life. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas, and Timothy is with them, they're on their second missionary journey. And I'm going to just very much paraphrase this the way I see it happening. So don't quote me as gospel on this. This is just, I'm painting a picture for you. So Paul says to the guys, tomorrow we're going to Bithynia. And they say, cool, off they go. They pack, get up the next morning. Paul's out there cooking the eggs, not bacon, because, yeah. Paul's cooking the eggs and bacon. He's been delivered from the Old Testament law. So Paul's cooking the eggs and bacon. And they say, Paul, why aren't you packed? And he says, we're not going to Bithynia. Now, here are guys who are traveling with the greatest missionary of all time, the second most influential person probably on this planet after Jesus. And he doesn't know where they're going, because he says to them, okay, we'll go to Asia. I feel we should go to Asia. They pack their bags. Next morning, he says, we're not going to Asia. Paul, where are we going? I don't know. Now, picture yourself on a missionary journey with someone as famous as Paul, and you're expecting to pack out stadiums and preach the gospel to people. You're expecting the sick to get healed, the blind to see. You're expecting all of these wonderful things, and Paul doesn't know where they're going. Then he has a dream, and a man beckons to him from Macedonia saying, come over. And Paul concludes that they had sent, that he was meant to go there. They go to Macedonia, and they land up with a small Bible study on the side of a river. And they lead a handful of women to Christ. Now, in the culture of the time, they would think, we've come over here for a handful of women. But the next thing that happens to them is quite amazing, because a slave girl walks past, and she's demon-possessed. Paul casts the demon out of her, and the result is they land up in jail. So there's Paul and Silas in jail, and it's midnight. The Bible says at midnight. So I can picture Paul nudges Silas in the ribs and says, Silas, you awake? He says, of course I'm awake, Paul. I can't sleep. I've got my hands fastened above me, my feet in stocks. You've got to be kidding. Silas, you sound a bit grumpy. Well, what would you be doing, Paul? Silas, I could have lost his joy. I'm just painting a picture here. So Paul says to Silas, you know what we should do? We should sing. We should praise. We should praise the Most High God and magnify Him. And the Bible tells us at midnight, Paul and Silas started singing hymns and praises to God. And you know what happens when you start singing hymns and praises to God? He turns His ear towards you. And the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's footstool. And I can picture the Lord tapping His foot, tapping His foot. To the music, to the sound of Paul and Silas. And you know what happens when God taps His foot on His footstool? An earthquake. And the earthquake releases them from prison. Their chains are broken. Their prison doors are opened. And the jailer, listen to this, the jailer comes to Paul and says, what do I need to do to be saved? What's the result of Paul and Silas praising God in the midst of their trial? Not only were they delivered out of the trial and were released, but the jailer and his household got saved. I want to encourage you guys. I want to encourage you that if you are prepared to praise God and allow that joy, because you can't keep praising God without joy. It's got to come out when you start praising Him. I encourage you to start doing that, to start praising God in the midst of your trials. Let that joy come out through you, and you will see that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, we are entering into Christmas. We're in the middle of Christmas season. But next week, we're going to celebrate Christmas. And you know what? There's going to be quite a few events in your life that's going to bring happiness. Because you're going to meet with family. You're going to see people. But sometimes in the midst of all of this, things don't always go the right way or the way you'd planned. And there might be a trial for one or two of you. If it's not then, trust me, you're going to have a trial or two next year. And as we go into the next season of our lives, I really want to encourage you, tap into the joy of the Lord being your strength. Allow Him to rise up strong in you as you read His word and as you release your joy through praise. And you'll see how your life will change, and you'll see how you'll have the strength to do it. Paul talks in Philippians chapter 1 about a joy of faith. He tells us that there is a joy attached to our faith. How can that be? Because we know the result, because our God always leads us in triumph. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but He delivers us out of them all. So I really want to encourage you to do that. Now, I'm on the website, there's going to be a little sort of paragraph, a cut and paste of some of the things that I say. And they're going to put it up on the screen now. And I just want us to say this together, because this is just a little snippet, and it all comes out of the book of Revelation. It's of how you can say something to praise God. This is just a sample. This is just something we can do, and we're going to do it now as a group. But I wonder how much of these kind of words you can say and not have joy rising up in your heart. And that is what James is saying. Count in all joy when you hit various trials. So God wants to grow us, but He wants to do it His way, which is joy being our strength. Let's say this together. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is, who was, and who is to come. You are worthy, O God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things. And by your will they exist and were created. And on his robe and on his thigh a name was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. We worship you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And your joy is our strength, Father. So we look to you. We praise you. We worship you, King. Thank you for these precious people. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word. And thank you, Father, that as they go out this week, your joy will be their strength. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.